All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and go back to Revelation 19. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week and talk about the second half of this chapter. We saw in the first half the marriage supper of the Lamb and how the Lord is the groom and the church is his bride, and this great wedding that is going to take place in heaven. In verse 7 of this chapter, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And so verse 9 said, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings. So the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place when we are in heaven, when the rapture happens and we are taken up to heaven. And you'll remember the Bible says that in John 14 that Jesus said that I go to prepare a place for you. All right, and the whole picture there is that they got married in the Bible different from the way we get married today. Back in Bible times, the families made the decisions about who got married and to whom, all right? And Dad was shopping his daughter, you know, for the biggest dowry. I can imagine some of those conversations that went on. Can you? But anyway, once the agreement between the fathers was made, then the prospective groom would go to his father's home and would build on to their existing home. And one day, all of that was going to be his, all right? And so he would build on to the family home. And that's where he and his new bride would live. And they did not have the wedding ceremony and consummate the marriage until that house was built. Okay, and that's the picture that the Lord Jesus is giving. You'll remember in Matthew 24 and 25 when he spoke about the 10 virgins, and he said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Well, you didn't know when the groom was going to show up. You just had no knowledge of that. The bridesmaids would go, and they would kind of check and see how far along he was, how things were going, and then would come back and tell, but him showing up, and they made it a game, all right? They made it into something suspenseful, into something exciting. And the bride did not know when he was going to show up. And so when he did, it was a great celebration, and the families would have a great big dinner and celebration, and they were given one to another from their fathers to be husband and wife. And so that's the picture that is all through both Old Testament and New Testament. And so that ceremony, that marriage supper, is after the wedding has occurred, all right? So we've got the rapture of the church and the groom is waiting on the bride. The bride goes up to meet with the groom, and that's what when the wedding happens, and that's when the judgment seat of Christ makes us ready for our groom. And to that, the angel said, "These are the true sayings of God." So it's a beautiful, beautiful picture that is seen. All right, now let's pick up where we left off last week. And we left off last week with, we got through, I think, verse 11. And then we just sort of, I don't remember what rabbit I was chasing, but I had him all over the mountain last week, if I remember right. And so I'll try not to chase too many rabbits tonight. But if you'll look, please, at verse 11, and we'll just pick it up there. It says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture," all right, on his vesture, look here, "he had from here to hip," from here to here, all right, "he had a banner that went across his chest. And on that banner was written, on that vesture was written a name, and that name was King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Not just the King and not just the Lord, but he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. All right, so let's pray, and then we'll jump right into this. All right, let's pray. Father, we ask now your richest blessings to be upon us as we look at these verses. I want to thank you so much for your wonderful word. And Father, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit that guides us in the truth, that gives us understanding, and that opens the scriptures to our hearts and our minds. And so, Father, bless what we're about to hear tonight. Thank you for our folks and for their faithfulness to be here. And Father, I pray that you'll just pour out your blessing upon us tonight. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, last week we were talking about the Lord's coming as it's described in verse 11 through verse 16, the verses that I read for you tonight. And we only got down to one of the names that he was called. We were talking about his nature. We are told by John about our Lord's nature, about his person, his character. Now, don't forget, this is the great unveiling. That's what this book is all about. Unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a book that describes him and who he is and his purpose. All right, go back to chapter 1 for just a second. Go back to the first chapter and look, please, at verse 1. And the Bible here says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. So this book is a revelation. It is an unveiling of who Jesus is. And who he is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. All right? Now, you hold your place over here in 19 and go back to the book of 1 John. 1 John. All right? 1 John. Not the gospel, but the epistle. The first epistle of John. And in verse 1, it says that that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. All right, so who is this Jesus? Well, the same author that gave us the book of the Revelation says of him in 1 John 1, 1 and 2, tells us that he is the Word of God. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2 again. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So the Lord Jesus is described here as many things. And one of the things that he is described here, of course, is the Word of God. But then another thing that he is described here is life eternal life. And then another thing he's described here is the Father. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. All right? So he is God in the flesh. And so hold your place here now in Revelation 19 and go back to the Gospel of John. And we see in the first chapter of the Gospel of John these words in verse 1. And following, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amazing, huh? I mean, just absolutely astounding what John tells us here. And then in verse 2, he said the same. In other words, the Lord Jesus, the Word, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was what? Life. So exact same thing he said in 1 John. All right, so this is who we have revealed for us in the book of the Revelation. It is a book that reveals to us the person and the nature of our Savior. And the first thing we saw in chapter 19, verse 11, the first thing we saw is that he is called faithful and true. Now, that certainly could not be said about the beast, could it? That cannot be said about the beast. It cannot be said about the dragon, the devil. Oh, no. He's a liar, always has been and always will be. He's a murderer, always has been and always will be. All right, so, but about the Lord Jesus, he is called faithful and true. All right, then notice also, we're not only told about his nature, but let's look now at verse 12, yes, in verse 12, and I want you to notice that we are told about his name. His name. Folks, in the Bible, you know this, names are important, are they not? All right, names mean something. All right, they're not just in there as filler material. They did not pick a name for someone based on popularity. The name was not done in that fashion at all. They did not go down to the drugstore and get one of those little books that has all the baby names in it, and mom and dad sit around the table and pick what they think are cool names for their kids, you know. No, back in Bible times, the Lord led these parents to name their children, and those names mean something. And so we are told in verse 12 and 13 of this chapter about his name. All right, look at verse 12. It says, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. You see the mystery there? Do you see the mystery there? We are told, first of all, that his name is one of mystery. We are told here that our Lord is crowned with many crowns. And by the way, folks, he is worthy of every single one of them. All right, if you remember back in chapter 4, when we all get to heaven, all right, we are going to be given crowns according to our faithfulness to him. All right, there are five different crowns you can win. And when we receive those crowns, we are just going to turn right around and take our crowns and lay them at his feet. Why? Because it's not about us getting any glory. It's all about the Lord getting all the glory. All right? The light is not going to shine upon us. The light is going to shine upon him. And you know, men, let's be honest, men have always had trouble understanding the Lord Jesus. I mean, always. He calmed the raging stormy sea one day, and his own disciples looked around at one another and said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and seas obey his will? Think about it, folks. His own disciples, they should have known who he was. They should have known by then, but they asked the question, what manner of man is this? Now, I told you this in a sermon several years ago when I first came here. I preached to you about that little phrase, what manner of. You'll see it in 1 John 3, where John talks about the love of God, and he asks this question, what manner of love is this, that the Father should love us? What manner of love? And then the disciples, when Jesus, they woke him up and he stood up in the boat, and the storm was raging, and he just lifted his hands and said, peace be still, and boom, like a little baby, that storm died down. And the disciples were all looking at one another like, wow, what manner of man is this? Well, that's a Hebrew colloquialism. Don't ask me to spell that. But that's a Hebrew colloquialism. And the rabbis tell us that what that phrase means is this. When you and I would use it, if you and I would use it, we would say, What kind of? All right, what manner of man? What kind of man? That's how we would use it. But the Hebrew people did not use it that way. They used it this way. Where does a man come from? So think of it in that light. What manner of man is this? Where does a man come from that even the winds and seas obey his will? Well, I tell you where he comes from. He comes from God. What manner of love? Not what kind of love is this, but where does a love come from that God could love us, oh, filthy sinners, the way he does? So much so that he sent his only begotten Son. Well, it doesn't come from around here, does it? Oh, no. I had to come through up 95 and through Duh Capitol today. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I know. Man, and it was like 11:30. And yet, people were driving and swerving and cutting in and out. This guy came up behind me, and I literally braced myself. I thought, there's no way he's going to stop. I could see him coming in the rearview mirror. And two cars pulled right along beside of me, and there was a great big truck over here. I mean, there's like four or five lanes. And this guy is flying, and I braced myself, and I thought, he's going to hit me. But he didn't. I don't know how he didn't. I'll be honest with you. I was just sitting there watching in the rearview mirror, praying, Lord, please. I got church tonight. I ain't got time for this. That's what I was thinking. Don't mess my day up, you know. And you see people rolling down their window and hanging out the window and cussing people for pulling out in front of them. I mean, just brutal stuff. It's no wonder, you have this road rage thing that goes on. I saw it three or four times just today. It's sad, I'm telling you. But that's our world today, isn't it? Where does love come from? Well, it doesn't come from around here. It must come from heaven. That's exactly where it comes from. Folks, how much more awesome must be the terrible mysteries that surround the Lord when he reappears with a name that no man knows? Well, that's the way he's coming back. He's going to have a name that no man knows. So his name is a name of mystery. But then notice in verse 13 that his is the name of ministry. Okay, notice that. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in what? Blood. Blood. And his name is called the Word of God. There's his ministry. You see, in Genesis 1, you'll remember, he only had to speak. That's all he had to do. He only had to speak, and the world came into existence. Jude tells us that he comes, he's going to come with 10,000s, plural, of his saints. His ministry now is much different from the last time he came. All right, 2,000 years ago, when he came the first time, when he comes the second time, there's a difference in his ministry. Now, he had a ministry the first time he came. Don't misunderstand me. But his ministry, when he comes the second time, is going to be different than it was when he came the first time. You see, the first time that he came, the Bible tells us that the Word was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. You know, people don't like the truth, but the grace will soften you up to the truth. Now, I say that by experience. That's what it did for me. Okay? I mean, I was so hardened to the gospel, I didn't want to hear it. But the Holy Spirit began to work and convict, and I kept hearing the truth preached from the pulpit of the church we were attending. And so the truth softened me up, so to speak, so that I would accept the grace. Now, that's how he came the first time, full of grace and truth. But when he comes the second time, his ministry, according to verse 13, is going to be one of blood, one of blood and battle. Blood and battle. Oh, he's coming with a vengeance, folks. He's coming in wrath. He's coming in judgment. He came the first time, don't forget, as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But he is coming the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah with judgment in his hand. That's our Savior, folks. That's our Savior. You say, well, what ministry is that? Well, His ministry is going to be vengeance upon those who have rejected his grace and his truth. That's going to be his ministry when he comes again. You see, his weapon is not going to be a sword, but it's going to be the Word of God. Another kind of sword. A sharp, two-edged sword, the Bible says. He came the first time full of grace and truth. Second time, blood and battle. Can you imagine the fear when suddenly the skies are filled with brilliance and a number that no man could number just comes charging out of heaven behind the one who is faithful and true, who is riding on a white horse. And by the way, you and I are going to be riding on white horses too. You know, the good guys always wear white, don't they? Yeah. Yeah, everybody that's ever watched Gunsmoke knows that. Sure. All right. See how much Bible you're learning? That was a joke right there. His name, folks, his name, it's what we're talking about. Then thirdly, I want you to notice his name is the name of majesty. Majesty. Look, please, at verse 16. In verse 16, it says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. And you'll notice that this is capitalized all the way across. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, there have been some who have claimed that name, but they certainly were not the King of Kings, nor were they the Lord of Lords. But the Lord Jesus is. You remember in the Gospels when Pilate put that contemptuous title that was nailed to the top of the cross. And he wrote in three languages and said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, King, the King of the Jews. Now, he was real close to the mark right there. But this label is the closest to the actual scope of Christ's majesty. He is not just the King of the Jews. He's the King of the universe. He's the King of this world. I mean, He is the King of kings, and He is the Lord of lords. There's none like Him. And the world is going to certainly find that out. All right, now jump back to verse 14 for just a second. And let me read 14 and 15. It says, "And the armies which were in heaven followed Him." I like that. We're going to follow Him. All right, He's not going to throw us out into the battle. We're going to follow Him to the battle. Upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. All right, now notice that, verse 14. And the armies. Armies. All right, let's go back into the Old Testament now for just a moment. And I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah. And let's go to chapter 13, Isaiah chapter 13, for just a moment. All right, chapter 13, look at verse 1. It says, "The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, did see. Lift ye up a," what? "Banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles." Watch this now. "I have," what's the next word? "Commanded my sanctified ones." Well, I wonder who that is. "I have also called my," what's it say? "Mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness, the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustered," do you see that? "Mustered," gathered, "the host of the battle." Wow. You know, we sometimes look at things and we get a little discouraged and a little depressed, and we think, oh my, our world's just falling apart. Can I just tell you that everything's right on schedule? Please understand that. I can assure you the Lord, not one time today, not once, did the Lord look over the battlements of heaven and see all that foolishness that was going on at the United Nonsense today in New York, the United Nations. He looked over and he looked at all that. Not one time did he go, "Well, looky there." Not one time did he say, "Well, I declare, I didn't know they were going to do that." Oh, no, he knew exactly what they were doing. He knows what they're going to do tomorrow. So don't lose faith, folks. Yeah, it's a mess. But the Bible told us it was going to be a mess in the last days. Go back and read 1 Timothy chapter 3, or 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go back and read it. I mean, it's a mess. But that's exactly what Paul told Timothy it would be. So we should not be surprised by that. Go back and read Matthew 24 and 25. The Lord Jesus said, it's going to be a mess. And lo and behold, sure enough, it is. It is. All right, so, but It's the Lord that's in charge of things. All right, the devil's not in charge. The devil is nothing but a yes man. He can't do anything without getting permission. So cheer up. All right, cheer up. I don't like the theology, but there was a black preacher down south, and he had this famous sermon that he preached whenever his people got, you know, down and discouraged and you know, sad, looked at the world and got all confused and all messed up. And he said the title of the sermon was It's Wednesday. Or it's Friday. He said it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Now, I would say it's Wednesday, but Sunday's coming. All right? But he preached, and if he repeated it once, he repeated it 1,000 times. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And sure enough, when Sunday came, the Lord resurrected. And folks, just as sure as he resurrected, everything else that this Bible says is going to happen is going to happen. So cheer up. You're on the winning side. We win. The devil loses. You know? I'll never forget when our brother was here for the Jewish ministry, Brother Overby, Ken Overby, he said, let me sum up. I wrote it down what he said. He said, let me sum up Jewish holidays for you. He said, Jewish holidays are like this. They tried to kill us. They lost. We won. Let's eat. I mean, that's the right attitude, don't you think? Man, us Baptist folks, we all love that. Because we sure do like to eat. I know I do. All right, so that's our Savior. All right? And he's coming back. Isaiah saw it, and he's in control. So when they all come together, the devil's going to sit there and think, well, I did it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't do it. The Lord brought them all there. The Lord brought them all there. You had nothing to do with it, Satan, so just sit down. All right? All right, go one more verse. Let's go over, please, to, let's see, where do I want you to go? Let's go to Joel. All right, let's go to Joel, chapter 2, I think is what I want. Yeah, chapter 2. All right, Joel chapter 2. All right, if you find Hosea, it's right after Hosea. All right, so everybody got it? All right, now, look, please, at verse 7. It says, they shall run like what? Mighty men. That's the same thing Isaiah saw. That's the exact same thing Isaiah saw. He saw us, the armies that John saw coming with Christ, and we were mighty men. And then verse 7 said, they shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways. They shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. In other words, they're not going to be able to kill you. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, that's the city of Jerusalem. They shall run upon the wall. I've always wanted to get up on that wall and run around. They won't let me. I've asked. I said, please let me get up there. No, no, nobody's allowed up there. I said, oh, man, I'll pay you. One of them thought about it for a second. I know he did. But anyway, verse 9, they shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter at the windows like a thief. Now watch this. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. That's us. That's you, Christian. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Well, I can answer that. Nobody. Nobody. All right, so that's the nature of our Lord. That's the nature of his coming. And he is the faithful and true. He is the Word of God. He is clothed in a vesture that has been dipped in blood. We, the armies, follow him. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, which is the Word of God. And he wins, and we rejoice. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Man, I can't wait for all this. It's going to be so exciting, isn't it? He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your wonderful word, and I pray you'll bless this. Help us to understand the greatness of this event. And Father, we're going to be right there to see it all happen. Oh my, what a wonderful time that's going to be. And Father, I ask you to just seal this in our hearts and give us understanding. Help us to realize the greatness of our Savior. Help us to visualize what we just read. Help us to see the Lord Jesus coming and clothed in white linen. And Father, to help us to see all of us just pouring out of heaven behind him. My, what a scene. And I pray you'll help us to put our faith and trust in what thus saith the Lord. We win and the devil is defeated. So bless your word, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.